Kids can go to kids' church. God's good. Good to be in church. Love church. Love being here. Better love it. I'm here a lot. It's good. I have a few announcements to make as we're moving along here. I have a hard time seeing everybody. Anyway, tonight, if you don't know about it, there's a Super Bowl party. A bunch of the churches in town are getting together, doing kind of an outreach tonight for people in town. And basically, we're having a Super Bowl party at the arena, just above the arena. It's free. There'll be tons of door prizes. We're going to watch the Saints kick the Colts' butts and win the Super Bowl. I don't really care. I'm a Jets fan. Anyway, you're welcome to come on out. If you're an adult, show up. They're not asking for young children to come. But if you have a teenager or adult, just come on out. Enjoy it. It's free. There's going to be food there. I think pizza, chili, all kinds of things. So show up if you can. Just want to remind you again about the marriage simulcast that's coming up. That it's coming up on the 27th. And I think we all, if we're married, we can use help. We can all use help in our relationship. And the only way we can get help is if we learn new things. If we start to understand more clearly what the Bible says about marriage. So that night or that day-long simulcast, it includes lunch, includes snacks, and it's $65. We'd love for every couple in the church to sign up. If you're married, sign up. If you're engaged, sign up. If you can't afford it, come and speak to me. We'll make a way. We don't want money to be the issue for you. Also a reminder, I was talking to Pastor Ted yesterday, Pastor Ted Uke. A lot of you know him. He's a fireball. If you enjoyed Mark Davey, you're going to enjoy Pastor Ted. Pastor Ted's a real fun guy, real passionate guy. He's coming to be part of our spring conference. Refresh this year, along with Pastor Paul, and that will be held April 18th to 21st. We're going to be having Hallelujah the Clown coming in and do kids ministry in the evenings, in the morning. There won't be kids ministry, so just start marking that on your calendar. Keep those days free. It's going to be a great time to be together. So, anyway, it's a great day to be in the house of God. I love another thing Harold says. It's a good day. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. And I know that's an old way of saying it, but it really is true. We get to be in God's house with God's people. I'm always excited. I get to pray with my kids on Saturday nights, and we just always give thanks because tomorrow, that's today, is the Lord's day, and we get to be in God's house with God's people. And God has called us to live for His kingdom, for His glory, and for His honor. We're not just here filling seats and joining a club, but we're here to show God's glory in the earth. We're here to connect with each other, to connect with God, to become family, to become people that care deeply for each other, as we talked about last week. And in that, God wants to empower us to live for Him so that He will look good in the earth. But also that so we could enjoy life. I don't want to come to church year after year, day after day, week after week, whatever, and just feel like a drudge. Feel like I'm not enjoying myself, like I don't like being with the people I'm with. Seriously, I want to come to church and love the people that I get to do life with. I want to come to church and just enjoy myself. Be challenged, be encouraged, be built up. Been coming to this church for over 32 years. Met in this room 32 years ago, and here we are. God's brought us back here, and it's great to be here, and God's good. And we get to be part of that. There's so much at stake as we choose to either live for God or to just live the same old way we've always lived. When we make a decision to live for God and to show God's glory, it brings people that don't know Jesus into an encounter with Jesus. And we choose not to. When we choose to to fly under the radar, to live life our own way, to do whatever we want to do, people miss the opportunity to see Jesus through you. So it's really important for us to live life His way. I think we all, as Christians, want to live life the way God intended for us to live it. But that will take a decision every day. Every day, as we wake up, we need to decide to live for Jesus. I don't know about you. I don't always find that easy. There's some days when I feel bothered with people. Some days I just feel selfish. Some days I feel like people have let me down or hurt me. Some days I just feel just plain miserable, especially the first half an hour or so until I've hit the showers and I've had a chance to wake up. I sometimes do not feel like it in my body. In my body, in my flesh, I want to live for me. I want to be selfish. I want to have everybody serve me. I want it to be all about me. But that's not the way God wants it. And really, it's not. As we follow Him, as we learn about Jesus, as we read His Word, as we study His Word, it's not what we really want. But the struggle is there. That old way of life versus the new way of life. And the only way that we can really start to live life God's way is if we know God. I am surprised, as I talk to Christians, how many people don't actually spend time with God each and every day. Who don't actually open up His Word and read it on a regular basis. Who don't allow Him to be part of their everyday life. I was talking to someone this week and we were just talking because struggling in his walk and I was saying, so how are you doing with your time with God? Well, you know, sometimes I get to, sometimes I don't, sometimes. And really, when we live that way, we can't really be strong. We can't really enjoy all that God has to offer. We can get by, but I guess the question that I have, and this is a question I try and ask myself a lot, is God my life? Or is God just part of my life? Is He just one of the things I do? Is He one of the compartments in my life? Or is He what my life is about? I feel that a lot of times as Christians, we try and make God a part of our life. But if we're really going to walk in the victory that we're trying to talk about in this series, we have to actually make God our life. The only way we're going to do that is if we start to love His Word, to read His Word, to understand His Word. And I know, because I grew up, gave our hearts to Jesus when I was 7 years old. Served God my whole life. And there's been a lot of times I read the Bible and I don't really understand it all. And sometimes I read it and it's just kind of flat on the page. Sometimes I read it and it's just too hard because there's things I'm trying to get away with that the Bible's confronting me on. I understand the pressure. I understand the pressure of time, that we get busy, we get going, we get doing these things, and we forget. But if we're really going to live life God's way, we have to get into His Word. We have to love His Word. We have to study His Word. We have to spend time with Him. The only way we're going to become like Jesus is if we know who Jesus is. We can't be like somebody we don't know. We can't emulate the life of someone who is a stranger to us. We can't do that. We have to know God. So we need to develop a love for God and for His Word. What I'm hoping is that this series, this teaching in this series, will help you to just sort of look at God's Word in a different way so that you'll understand more of what you're reading and how it relates to you. Because it's my heart's desire that we all love Jesus more than we love anything else. That we as God's people in this house would love Jesus and He would be our life and not just part of our life. I don't want it to be just a part-time Christian. I want it to absorb my life. I was going through some hard times over the past few months and I remember coming home one night to Christine And she was like, oh, you look like you had a bad day. And yeah, well, I had a bad day. And, you know, I just looked at her and I said, honey, all I really want to do is serve God and love God. That's what I want my life to boil down to. And I think as Christians, that's what our life needs to boil down to. When all the things that come against us, when all the things that come for us, when all the things of life and the challenges and the distractions and the blessings and the hard things that come against us or come to us, that we still have to be all about loving God and serving God. This scripture in Romans chapter 6, I love, is as long, the Bible says in verse 20, as long as you did what you felt like doing, ignoring God, you didn't have to bother with right thinking or right living or right anything for that matter. But do you call that a free life? What did you get out of it? Nothing you're proud of now. Where did it get you? A dead end. But now that you've found you don't have to listen to sin tell you what to do and have discovered the delight of listening to God telling you what to do, what a surprise. A whole, healed, put-together life right now with more and more of life on the way. Work hard for sin your whole life, and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life and eternal life delivered by Jesus our Master. I don't know about you, but I want a life that's healed. I want a life that's whole. I want a life put-together life right now, with more life on the way. The only way we're going to have that is if we follow Jesus. The only way we're going to have that is we live our lives for Him, with Him, to Him. I worked my whole life, a lot of my life, in the factories. I understand men, especially, and women also, different pull for women. But I understand for men that the pull that sin has. I understand the devil's plan. I understand how he works against you. I understand how it feels to walk into a room, a lunchroom in a factory, and see walls full of pornography. I understand it. I understand there's that pull. I understand what it's like to work with someone all day when all they could talk about is pure, horrible filth. I understand it. I've been there, lived that way, with that kind of a life, you know, with those kind of people for a long, long time. And I understand how hard it is to live for Jesus in that kind of an environment. Understand the pull on your mind. I understand the pull of that. I used to work in the restaurant business, in a pizza shop, mostly with women. And I understand the pull of that. I see what being in the workforce, being in everyday life, I see the pressure and the pull of that. I'm not blind to that, and I'm not trying to tell you that if you're a pastor that lives in a church that you can live life for God, but I'm telling you that if you're a person who works in the worst work conditions with the worst pulls against you, that you could still live for God. And you could still love God and have Him be part of your life. I understand there's a pull out there. I understand the pull. I've lived in the pull. But I'm telling you there's a free life, a put-together life, a whole life, where we don't have to deal with the guilt, where we don't have to deal with all that stuff, because we can live for Jesus every day. So if you're struggling, I would just advise you, get a hold of this series. It's free. It's online. If you want to get it on CD, I think it's $3 a CD if you can't afford that again. Because I really believe if you'll just put some of these principles and understand some of the things we're talking about in this series, that it'll help you in a huge way to walk with God, to live for Him. Not just to have Him be part of your life, but to have Him be your whole life. I don't know about you, I don't want to live that way. God's way is the best way. And as Jesus said, the only way, because it leads to life. Doing life without Jesus leads to death. Doing life without Jesus leads to death. Not only physical death, but even more importantly, spiritual death. So we have to decide who we will serve. We make a stand one day, When I was seven, I remember giving my heart to Jesus. And then I remember when I was about 16, I really recommitted my life as an adult. I thought it through for myself. I said, now this is not my parents' decision that I'm making. This is a decision I need to make for myself. I decided to follow Jesus. I've had some good days. I've had some bad days. I've had some struggles. I've had some great times. But what I have found is that I need to decide to serve Him every day. So today we're going to continue our series, Clash of the Titans. And the titans really in our life are the spirit and the flesh. And we talked about that. We're going to get back to that, how those two things just don't play nice together. Our spirit and our flesh actually repel each other. They push each other away. So I want to just review a little bit of what we learned here last week, and then we're going to move on with what we're going to talk about this week. So we read last week in Galatians 5, verse 16, 17, 24, and 25. I'm going to read those passages. Thus I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Last week we talked about how God really wouldn't ask us to live in the Spirit unless we could live in the Spirit. He wouldn't ask us to do it if we couldn't do it. God's not a nasty trickster that's sitting in heaven going, I'm going to tell these guys what to do and going to ask them to do something they can't do, and I'm just going to watch them struggle and be challenged and drive themselves crazy trying to do something that's absolutely impossible. Right? He didn't do that to us. He said, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of flesh. So when he said walk in the Spirit, he knew that we could walk in the Spirit. We talked last week about the Rubik's Cube, and I don't know about you, but I'm challenged. You know, I'm a pretty bright guy, but I could never get the cube unless I tore it apart, stuck it back together. The reason I couldn't do it is because I really didn't understand how it worked. And when I got the little book, you know, you could get the little book, How to Solve Rubik's Cube, and I went through the steps, I could actually do it, get it together, and get the cube, all the right colors on the right side. And a lot of times as Christians, we struggle, we're challenged because we don't actually get it. Anyway, in 17 it says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh, these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would do. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, that's to put violently to death the flesh. It doesn't mean like we go off into a monastery and we whip ourselves and we starve ourselves or anything like that. It's not what it's talking about. It's talking about just putting to death the things and the afflict. It goes on to say the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, Paul says, then let us also walk in the Spirit. He's saying, let's just not talk about it. Let's actually do it. So that's what God wants us to do. He's speaking through Paul. God's word's inspired. It's God speaking to us and saying, let's not just talk about walking in the Spirit. Let's actually do it. So then we went on to read in Romans. Anyway, let me just back up here. We talked about the fact that God wants us to walk in the Spirit so we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Again, God doesn't want us to live life in the flesh, and if we couldn't live in the Spirit, He wouldn't have asked us to. He did, however, in this verse, let us know it was going to be a battle. He said the flesh wars against the Spirit, Spirit wars against the flesh. There's going to be a battle, and life wouldn't be any fun without battles anyway, right? The clue he gave us in this verse was that we have to win the battle. In order to win the battle, we have to crucify the flesh, the carnal or sinful part of ourselves. And then to really live life God's way, not just talk about it. As I said, there's a lot of us, we've tried this. Again, the whole cube idea. We've tried living life God's way. We found it frustrating because we try, we mean to, we want to, and we just can't seem to pull it off. So we feel less than. We feel like there's other Christians that are better than us, and instead of pulling toward God, we often pull away from Him. We pull away from His church because we feel like somehow we're less people, less in person than what we should be. The reason we get so frustrated is because we don't actually understand how we're made up and actually how our system works. So we need to find out that. We need to understand that. So Paul went on in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, to tell us about how we're made up. And this is what he said. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you and may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're made up of three parts. Body. Body is the carnal part of us. It's the part where we're reading about. It's the flesh part of us. It's the part that's not reincarnate. It's not regenerated. It's not brought back to life by Jesus. There's always sin in the flesh, and it's that part of us that's always pulling us to do things the wrong way. It's the part of us that likes the things of this world, that likes fame, that likes just all that, you know, stuff to have on ourselves. It's the part that makes women love chocolate and gives men problem with sex. It's just that whole part of us. I know chocolate's not evil. I'm joking. You guys are all really quiet and serious today. The truth is, the body is always drawing us to do things the old way, the sinful way. The next part of us is our soul, which is our mind, our will, emotions. It's the thought processing part for us. It's where all the information gets taken in. It's where it all gets processed. And from those information that we get, we take the data and we make decisions. If we make good decisions, good things happen in our life. If we make bad decisions, then bad things happen. And then the third part of us is the spirit. As we give our hearts to Jesus, our spirit connects with God's spirit. Really, God's spirit just moves in and takes over our spirit, and it connects us with God and with His Word. It's the part of us that actually understands God and His Word. And it's always filtering what we're doing, what we're going through, going for and going through, and helping us to understand what God would want us to do in that situation. So there's those three parts. Then we read through Romans 7, verse 20 or 14 to 25, and this whole scripture is about Paul. It seems sort of like he's whining, like a lot of us whine, and he's saying, you know what? I want to live for God, but I can't seem to live for God. I choose to do right, and then evil is always present. I want to do right, but whenever I want to do it, it always seems like I do wrong. The thing that I want to do, I can't seem to do. The thing I decide not to do, I just seem to do by nature. Anybody relate to that? I do. There's a lot of times where I'm like, God, I didn't want to do that again. I didn't want to go down that road again, and here I am again. Why do you like me? Forget about love me. Why do you even care about me? You know, and this was Paul was going on, because this is how Paul goes on to say this. He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? But anyway, there's this whole battle going on with Paul, within Paul, and he's saying, I just can't seem to do what's right. I want to do what's right, but there's this other thing going on in me. And he says in verse 23, he says this. He said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. There's a war that is going on, and that is warring against your mind. There's this whole battle Paul was going through. He wanted to do right, but there was this battle in his mind. One side was saying, I want you to live life God's way. Another side was saying, I want you to live this way. And Paul seemed like he was saying that he was always going the wrong way. And many of us have used this as a cop-out verse. We've said, well, that's Paul. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Paul was probably the most godly man that ever lived. The whole world still reads Paul today. And Paul is this amazing Christian. And Paul's saying he couldn't do it. So how are we supposed to do it? Paul's saying, I want to do right, but I see this other law in my members. I see this law that says every time I want to do right, this whole thing of my flesh wells up and I can't seem to do it. But he doesn't stop there, and we shouldn't stop there either. So I have stopped there many times, and for a long time. I've said, you know what? I've tried to do it, God. You know I've tried. You know I'm frustrated. You know I'm trying to live for you, but I can't seem to do it. Paul was saying that. But Paul said, that's not where it stops. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He thanks God because Jesus is the answer to that problem. Jesus is the answer to that problem for Paul. Jesus is the answer to that problem for us. He says, because now we have Jesus, now find the spot. I myself, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But in the flesh, there's still a sin problem. With my flesh, I still serve the law of sin. But there was a decision he made in his mind that he was allowed to make and he could make. And he was empowered to make because he now had Jesus to help him make it. That Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit living in him could help him. That he was going to follow his spirit and not obey the lust of the flesh. So one of the things that we really needed to understand is that the spirit is at war with the flesh. The flesh is at war with the spirit. These things push against each other. We've tried the 21 days to form a new habit, right? So if we could just read our Bible for 21 days, then we would be in the habit of reading our Bible and we'd just do it. And all of us know that if you do it for 21 days, that the next day, if you don't discipline yourself, you don't force yourself, you're not necessarily going to read the Bible for 21 days because there's another law, as it says in verse 23, warring in your members. It's the law of the flesh. The law that says, I don't want to do things God's way. I want to do it the world's way. I want to just keep having these things happening in me because that's what I would like. And then there's a side of us that's alive to God saying, I want to live this way. But in our mind, we need to make up our mind. What we ended with last week was whatever two of our three part person links up with each other voids the power of the third. So if our body, if our flesh and our mind get together, then we're going to live life the world's way, the old way, the way that leads to sin and death, and we're going to void out the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. But if we would connect our spirit and our mind together, and we would get agreement between those two things, we could put the things of the world aside. We could stop taking the path that leads to death, and we could live a life that lives for God and live in the power of that. So we have a picture to help us with this. Pretty sure we have a picture. Yeah, we have a picture. So, body on the right side, body on the left side, spirit on the right side, and the soul on the top. We talked about the fact that the spirit is connected to the spirit of God inside of us. The body, or the flesh, is full of worldliness and carnality, found in Galatians 5:17. And the soul is the emotions, the mind, the will, the thinking. And when one side links up with the other, if we live life in the spirit, then the Bible says we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if we live life in the flesh, then we're not going to live a life in the spirit. See at the bottom there, they're pushing against each other. They're struggling against each other. So if we live life on the right side, then God's will be done in our life. We'll be able to walk in victory. We'll be able to be free. We'll be able to live that kind of life. But if we stay on the left side, we're always going to struggle. So here's the deal. The battleground for what you're trying to finish, the battleground for your life happens in your mind. The mind is the deciding factor. If the flesh and the spirit can't get along, and two voids out the power of the third, our flesh and our spirit can never get along. Our flesh doesn't want to do what our spirit wants to do. Our spirit doesn't want to do what our flesh wants to do. This is what the Bible says. So the deciding factor is in the mind. This isn't about positive thinking. This isn't about just saying, I can, and I'm the little train, the little engine that could. It's not about that. It's about putting God's word into your heart and living in the spirit. It's about living on the right side and not on the left. Romans 7 says, I want to do what's right, Paul's saying there. I want to live life God's way. That in my mind and my spirit must agree to do that. But Paul was saying before he understood the power of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit in his life, he always ended up living on the left side because he had allowed the flesh to take over. So how that works, let me explain. I'll tell you a story. This is not something I normally struggle with, but it's a story we could all relate to. Christine and I, about a year and a half ago, we went out one night for a date night, and we went to a restaurant in Welland, and we were sitting eating our meal, and we had a waitress, and this waitress, pretty much, she had a shirt that everything was falling out of. And again, I'm not a guy that really struggles with that problem, but we were eating, and she kept coming back to the table, and you know, after a while, you start noticing, and you start, and there was a point where I had to say, this is wrong. This has taken my mind a place that it does not belong to go. And I had to say to Christine, let's pack up our food and let's get out of here, because I want to serve God. I want to love my wife. I don't want to love that. So I think we need to understand, if we walk in the Spirit, if we say, I want to live life God's way, I'm going to not lust after another woman, I'm not going to have feelings about another woman, then we have to stop and say, I need to get out of this situation. So by the power of the Spirit, you say, I want to live life God's way. The other choice is to stay there and sit there and let your mind go where your mind goes. We could put this into so many examples. Those of you that have temper problems, you might be sitting there, and you know, because I used to have a really bad temper when I was a kid, so I know. I knew when my temper was starting to act up. And I knew that I was about to lose it. And in those times, generally, I just lost it because it felt good. It felt great, actually. I was strong. I was, you know, people were afraid of me when I lost my temper. It was all cool. But it really didn't bring me anywhere good. It didn't bring me into life. But instead of that, you could choose either to say, okay, you know what? I'm going to do what feels good here. This person's ticking me off. I'm going to give it to them. Both barrels. Or you could decide, instead of that, to do things God's way and to say, you know what? I'm going to love this person. I'm going to maybe have to walk away from this person for a little while. Maybe I'm going to have to just move out of the situation for a little while, but I'm going to love this person. For me, again, one of the big things I struggle with is fear. Fear, worry more than fear. But I worry about things. I could worry about anything. I'll give you an example. Last week, not this Friday night past, but the Friday night before, we were here working on lights. We were here till about 3 o'clock in the morning. It was like minus 19 degrees outside. And I'm like, we're in and out of this building. But down at the end, there's a boiler room here. And beyond that, we built a cold storage. That's the temperature of outside. So I was in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out of that room all night. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. That's sort of my good time, but not. I'm starting to fade at that time. So we pack it up. Where you go home? And I'm driving home. Heat in my car is a bit sketchy, so it's a bit cold in my car. I start, all of a sudden this thought pops into my mind. Well, if you left the door open from the boiler room to the cold storage, and I'm like, no security problem, it's safe, not a problem. So then my mind, I'm getting colder because my car heat isn't working, and I'm like on the wheel like this, and I'm starting to think, well, if that cold air gets into the boiler room, then we're going to freeze these 6-inch pipes, like that would happen. And then they're going to split. And I'm going to come here tomorrow, and we're going to have kids skating around the church because there's no heat in the church and everything's broken. And I'm like, Ralph, that's stupid. It's ridiculous. I know enough about hot water and the situation. I know that's not true, but I'm fighting. And then I turned around, and I came back to the church. And I looked, and the door was shut. But in those situations where worry and fear, one of the things I'm trying to learn to do is say, God has not given me a spirit that makes me afraid, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. I want to live on the right side. I don't want to live on that side where I just keep falling into the same paths that I've always fallen into. I don't want to live on the left. I want to live on the right. So anyway, we all have these struggles, these frustrations, these fears, and we need to start living life the way God wants us to live it. If my flesh and my mind work together, on the left side, something takes place called sin, lust, desires, and passions. We all have them. Sin is simple. It's not doing things God's way. Lusts are like wanting something more than we really want God. Passions, that's that part of you with the temper people, with the people that have problems with addictions, those kind of things. Passion is the problem. And desires. We all have desires. So that side of us, all these things happen in that side of us. And if we follow that path, ultimately it leads to death. Following the left side will make it impossible to finish what I start. Because I start out saying, you know what? I'm not going to live in worry anymore. I'm not going to be like running 3,000 scenarios about what could happen. Christine was out the other night, and she told me she would be late. They had the ladies' scavenger hunt, and for those of us men that were waiting at home for our wives, some of us waited a lot longer than others, but Christine kind of wheeled into the driveway at 12:30. Now, she's the kind of girl that likes to be in bed by 10 or 10:30, so I'm like starting to think, well, she said 11:30, it's getting, and my mind is starting to go, and I'm like seeing scenarios, and I have to say to myself, God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and self-control. And I've got my cell phone in my hand beside me, and I'm like doing everything I can, fighting as hard as I can not to dial that number. Because I don't want to live on that side. If I live on that side, if I keep doing the things I've always done, I'm never going to finish what I started. For me to really do what God's called me to do in my life, I have to be free from worry. As long as I'm worried all the time, I'm just stressing and tires me, and I can't do what I really want to do. There's things that are holding you back from completing what you started, but you've got to get control of them. You've got to get control of that side of you, the flesh. If I, with my spirit, connect, that's connected with God and His Word and the soul, if they work together, then it produces something called life, light, hope, love, faith. All those good things it creates in my life. I don't know about you. Do I want to live in my passions, in all those things, or do I want to live in light and hope and faith and peace? I want to live on this side. I want to enjoy this side. I don't want to live life, as I said in the beginning, I don't want to live life coming to church because it's a routine. I don't want to open my Bible and feel like it's just a task I need to perform because I belong to this club called church, and that's cool, and I got to do this thing. I want to live life from my heart for God. The only way I'm going to do that is if I just start to live on the right side. There's nothing wrong with going out for a nice meal. There's nothing wrong with being concerned about things once in a while. But when your life is driven by a need for food, or if your life is driven by worry, if your life is driven by a passion for things, or if your life is driven by lust and greed, if your life is driven by those things, you need to get control. So this is what Paul said in Galatians 5, verse 16 again. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Basically, he's saying walk on the right side, and you won't fulfill the lust of the left side. This whole right side and left side is really to help you think and process what we're talking about. It's so that you could ask yourself this question, like I asked myself on Saturday night while I was waiting for Christine, or Friday night as I was waiting for Christine to get home. Is this right side thinking, or is this left side thinking? Which side will you choose to live on, the right or the left? We as men went to that men's retreat, and we were talking about this whole thing, and we were asking ourselves for weeks after, so is that right side? You living on the right, or are you living on the left? So the question is, are you living on the right? Are you living on the right side with God, or are you still living life the same old way you've always lived it? So this is what I love now. As I read the Bible, all that we're talking about, this whole right side, left side, flesh, spirit thing, pops out of the Word of God in all kinds of places. Let's turn to James chapter 1, verse 15. James 1, verse 15 says, then, when lust, so what side is lust? Left side. Is, has conceived. So conceived in this verse really means when you've thought about it long enough till you could see it. You ever thought about things long enough till you could see them? You know, so like if I run the scenario with Christine being late the other night, and I start worrying, well, did she get in a car accident? Did she, you know, did the car run out of gas? Simple. Did she get in a car accident? And I start running those scenarios, and then I see a twisted pile of metal, you know, up against a tree. That's when I've given place to something to worry and allowed it to conceive so to the point where I can actually see it. Maybe for some of you, for men, maybe you watch a woman walking down the sidewalk and you let your mind go to the point that it's gone too far and you could see what it is you're actually thinking about. We cannot allow that to happen. But it says, when lust is conceived, thought about it till it can be seen, it brings forth sin. What side sin? Left side. And when sin, when it's fully formed, brings forth death. So if we live on the left side, if we allow sin to be part of our life, if we allow that to be part of us, it will produce a fruit called death. It's not a question, it's an actual fact. It will bring forth death. This verse spells out very clearly that if we're living on the left side with all of its passion and lust controlling us, and that's where we allow our mind to agree, then the battle of guilt and anger become part of it. We become all confused and uptight and we want to do right, but we can't do it. We want to start something, but we can't, because when we start it, we get sidetracked and we can't finish it. And that eventually brings forth death. Death to your dreams, death to maybe your marriage, death to your job maybe, death to your fam, death, but ultimately death to you, spiritually death. So here's the deal. This is the big deal in all of this. You are not helpless. The decision ultimately belongs to you. For some of us, that's really good news. For other people, we don't want to hear this because we don't want the decision to be our decision. We want it to be someone else's decision. We want it to be our spouse's decision or our parents' decision or someone else's decision, maybe God's decision or even the devil's decision, but ultimately the decision belongs to you. You decide which side you're going to live on. You're going to live on the left side, follow flesh and its passions, its lust, its desires, or you're going to live on the right side, following God and what He wants for your life. You have to decide which side you're going to live on. It's your choice. You get to choose. And what you have to decide, because here's the battleground, right? In your mind, you have to decide which side you're going to agree with. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 6. Last week we looked at Romans chapter 7. This week we're looking at 6. We're going to read through a passage here from verse 6 to 18, and I'm going to back up and just run it through slowly. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from now on we should not serve sin. For he who died has been justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that when Christ was raised from the dead, he dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For in that he died to sin once, but in that he lives to God. Likewise, count yourselves also to be truly dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it and its lust. Do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourself to God as one alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law? But under grace, let it not be. Do you not know that to whom you yield yourself as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to him who you obey, whether it is of sin and death or of obedience to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you were the slaves of sin, that you were the slaves of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Then being made free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. So, just going back to verse 6. If you have your Bibles, good to keep following along. says, knowing this, and we talked about this last week. If you're going to know something, you should know it. If you don't know it, then you should find out about it. You should study it. So next time you read it, you will know it. I think one thing that we've done a big disadvantage a lot of times, because we've tried to get people to read their Bible, that we just start jetting through the Bible at horrible amounts of speeds. We just feel like if we could just read 4 chapters a day, we could read the whole Bible in a year. And it's cool to read the whole Bible in a year. Great. But if you don't understand a word you read, if you don't get it, if you don't try and make this part of your life, then you're never going to really be the person God wants you to be. Better to read 5 verses a day and understand them than read 4 chapters a day and not understand. So it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Crucified is put violently to death. Again, it's not like going to a monastery, whipping yourself, doing vows of silence, starving to death. That's not what God's talking about. It's actually talking about, again, living on the right side, not the left side. It's actually saying no to the lusts, the desires, and the passions of the left side and living on the right side. It's saying, what you're saying to me now doesn't matter anymore. I'm going to follow God. That's crucifying. That's putting violently to death that with Jesus, in order that the body of sin, which side is that? Body of sin? Might be destroyed. That from now on we should not serve sin. For he who died has been justified from sin. We live on the right side. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, he dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For in that he died once to sin, but in that he lives to God. The he's in that verse are all capital H. It's talking about Jesus. And we don't have a problem understanding that Jesus could live that way. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus came to the earth to free us from sin. Jesus came here with a mission. He lived a free and sinless life, and he came to die for our sin. He ultimately did die for our sin and set us free. We have no problem. Jesus can do this. That's no problem, Paul. But I'm human. I'm living on the planet. I've already told you. I'm with you on that. This who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Because I try to do it. I can't do it. I want to do it. I can't seem to do it. I choose to do right, and evil is present with me. I can't do it. I don't understand, God, what you're asking of me, but I can't do it. And this is what God says in response to that way of thinking. In verse 11, it says, likewise. You know what likewise means? In the same way. The same way that Jesus lived, he's saying now, likewise, count yourselves also to be truly dead to sin. He's saying this wasn't just for my son Jesus, this is for you. This is the church. He's speaking to the church. The church is me and you. And he's saying, likewise, live this way yourself, that you're truly dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin, left side, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it and its lust. Again, the left side. Do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Paul's saying, don't live on the left side. Don't live life out on the left side. But instead, as instruments of righteousness to God. That's on the right side. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace, which is God's power to help us live free from sin. For what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Let it not be. Here's a key verse that we need to remember. Do you not know that to whom you yield yourself as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to him whom you obey, whether it is of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? Again, as I said earlier, God threw the ball into your court. It's who you yield yourself as slaves to. You could say all you want, I'm wired this way. Like I tell you, I have a tendency toward worry. I have a huge tendency toward that. But it is my choice to go there. Whom I choose to yield myself as servant to obey, that's who is going to be my master. So if I choose, when worry comes, because worry will come, because that flesh side of us is not dead. It's there. It's present. It's always pushing against the spirit. It's always fighting against us. And when we want to do right, it wants to do wrong. When we want to live for God, it wants to live another way. And it's always there. It's always pushing. It's always striving against us. But we get to choose who we will obey. So I can either decide, I'm going to obey. I'm going to be a slave to worry. So I'm going to sit down. I'm going to run the scenarios. I'm going to figure out how messed up my life can get by this one decision. I'm going to see my world come crashing down in 15 different ways and in 3 different times. And I can run it all out for you. And I'll tell you what, if you lived in my mind sometimes and if I allow myself to go there, you'll be crazy by the end of the day. I'm amazed. But I'll tell you, it's a decision. Who will you be a slave to? Will you live life in the spirit, or will you live life by the flesh? It's you that gets to choose. God threw it in your court. It says this. Do you not know? Again, that know thing. Do you know this? Because you should know this. That whom you yield yourself to as slaves for obedience, that's who's going to be your master. Whether it's sin, that will be your master. Or whether of righteousness to God, then God will be your master. Do you want to live a life that ultimately ends in death, or do you want to live it on God's side? We get to decide. It's our call. It's not our wife's call. So when you're losing your temper because your wife didn't respect you and she nagged you, or she asked you the same thing 5 times and you're just like, oh, she just has no respect for me, and you decide to go there and you decide to lose your mind over it and you decide to fall into a temper fit. Well, that's your decision. You choose it. When guys or ladies, when you're flipping the channels at night and you run across this stuff that you shouldn't be looking at, do you sit there and stare at it until it creates this picture in your mind, or do you say, I'm not going there, and flip the channel? Do you When you get in a tight spot and you have a tendency toward lying, do you choose at that moment to tell a lie because it'll be easier than telling the truth, or do you decide I'm going to live life God's way and do it His way? Because whichever side you choose, that's who you obey and that's who your master is. But you get to choose. So it goes on to say, but thanks be to God that you were the slaves of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Then being made free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. So now, you can run whatever scenario you want, because we all have our favorite sin. We all have our favorite, or we all have that tendency in us to go a certain way. For some, it's lying. For some, it's worry. For some, it's lust. For some, it's whatever. Maybe for some it's gossip, for some it's an addiction, whichever. So you run the scenario, and you decide, who am I going to live for? So if I run the scenario of, for me again, another big one, when I worry, I choose to eat. Notice I say I choose, because when I eat, it makes me feel better. It takes some of my tension away. I can relax. So if I'm sitting at night and I'm getting this whole scenario going in my head, and I go make myself a nice sandwich with some ham and cheese, and, you know, pile it up nicely. I eat that sandwich. It feels good. So I'm sitting in my living room at night, and I'm getting worried about something. And I know that if I will just go eat my sandwich, my flesh will feel better. But I know, on the other hand, that my father was a big man, and my father had a stroke when he was 52, And that he didn't, and as I haven't to this point controlled my body or gotten control of my flesh, that I have to make a decision, and I should make a decision not to follow the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. What are you going to do when you get in that spot? When you feel that flesh pulling on you from one side and saying, okay, worry, okay, lust, okay, lose your temper, okay, feel sorry for yourself, okay, whatever. Are you going to decide to do what God's Word says? That I can live in the power of God? For me, God's not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, self-control, that God gives His beloved peace, that God does this and start allowing the Word of God to flow out of my spirit and set me free from that problem, that temptation? Or are you going to follow the flesh and just go either worry, have that sandwich, lose your temper, do whatever? You got to decide. Are you going to live on the right side, or are you going to live on the left side? Because whichever side you decide to live on, that's whom you're going to be a slave to. And we know that one side brings death, the other side brings life. So the next 2 weeks, Christine and I are going to be away on the Sundays. We're going to continue this series 3 weeks from today. Next week, Mom's going to be preaching. The week after that, John Edelman's going to be preaching about living life for God through your work. So we're going to have a good couple of weeks ahead. 3 weeks from today, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about it. But what we're going to talk about next time is if we're going to live on the right, we have to do God's will, God's way. We can't do God's will our way. We can't do our will God's way. We have to do God's will God's way. So just as you're going through your week this week, instead of saying, well, that was kind of cool, or well, he talked too long, or well, I was thinking about something else, but just think about this if you can this week. When you're talking with your family, or if you're struggling with some kind of a situation, decide, am I going to think on the right? Or am I going to think on the left? And when you talk to each other, ask that question. Say, so are you living on the right or are you living on the left? And then give an honest answer. Because we need to start thinking about how we're living our life. We need to actually start thinking. And if we think about it, we can see this all through the Word of God. This whole living life in the Spirit or living life in the flesh. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just come to